Chesterfield. Produced and transcribed in San Francisco with John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, Judd Collins with the Mayors, and Bing's guest, Dick Powell. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's my distinguished pleasure to present His Honor, Judge Bing Crosby.
Dad. Back here. What's this judge business?
Well, Bing, you are a judge.
What do you mean?
Well, I just read in Esquire that you're a judge in the Miss 1951 Esquire Calendar Girl contest.
Oh, that's right. Gosh, for a minute there you had me frightened. I thought maybe Mr. Truman had appointed me to the Supreme Court. Of course, if the president wants to put me in the Supreme Court, I'm ready. I'll go.
No. Wait, just a minute, Bing. No, you can't leave Esquire in the lurch like that.
Oh, they're all right. They got some really sharp judges for their calendar contest, Ken. They got Fred Waring, Kay Kaiser, Eddie Cantor, Rudy Valley, other gay blades from the halcyon days of the Crystal Set.
Why didn't Esquire get some college men for judges?
Rudy Valley's still in college. Fred Waring's still living in a frat house at the University of Pennsylvania. And Kay Kaiser's a professor at North Carolina U.
That's you all.
Right, you all.
Say, Bing, when you went to college at Gonzaga, you studied law, didn't you?
No, not exactly, Ken. But I did spend about 6 months as an office boy for a lawyer in Spokane.
Well, then you were studying law.
No. This lawyer defended me in a case, and I was working out the fee.
Oh, I see. Well, would you care to tell us about this little legal difficulty you were in?
Go build it up into a whole big Dreyfus case or something. Well, it wasn't anything so serious as all that, Ken. You see, my brother Everett got a little printing set for Christmas. Mm-hmm. The very first things he printed were some very reasonable facsimiles of United Cigar Store coupons.
Sort of a Mr. 880, huh?
Everett was just a kid, then we called him Mr. 440.
But if Everett was doing the printing, why were you apprehended?
Oh, gee, I was just carried away by Everett's artistry, and one day I sent 700 of these bogus coupons in for a ukulele.
And what happened?
About a week later, there was a knock on the door. I flung it open eagerly to reveal a man standing there with a bright, shiny ukulele in his hand. I thrust my chubby little arms out to receive it. He slapped the bracelet on me.
What happened to Everett?
He got a job with United Cigar Stores making coupons. But, Ken, enough of this shady past. I am now a judge. Please hand me my robes and my gravel.
You mean gavel?
Gravel, I'm going to sing, kid. Our opening selection tonight is Life is So Peculiar from the forthcoming Paramount picture, Mr. Music. John Scott, boys and girls, let's prove the point here. Oh, life is so peculiar. You get so wet in the rain. And you get so warm in the sunshine, but it doesn't pay to complain. When I get up each morning, there's nothing to bring but air. And when I look in the mirror, there's nothing to comb but hair. And when I sit down to breakfast, there's nothing to eat but food. Life is so peculiar, but you can't stay home to brood.
Yes, life is so peculiar.
The ocean's only got water.
You never know where you stand.
When I go out to dinner, there's nothing to wear but clothes.
And whenever I get sleepy, nothing to do but doze.
And whenever I get thirsty, there's nothing to do but drink.
Oh, life is so peculiar that it makes you stop and think.
So peculiar.
A bird can usually sing. A pearl is made by an oyster.
Man, you can't be sure of anything. When I get tired of resting,
there's nothing to do but walk.
And when I don't care to listen,
there's nothing to do but talk.
And when I'm up in my plane,
there's nothing to do but fly. Life is so peculiar,
and I often wonder why.
Yes, life
is
is all peculiar.
The pork belongs with a knife.
Bow, bow, bow.
Corned beef is lost without cabbage.
Bow, 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 bow.
A husband should have a wife.
Why, well, all the knife is all peculiar, but as everybody says, that's life, that's life.
Well, later than this,
that's life.
Every day, by actual count, over 10,000 smokers make the Chesterfield mildness test. Over 10,000 reasons every day why smokers all over America are changing to Chesterfield.
You ought to make the test yourself, folks. Find out which cigarette is milder, which cigarette is best for you. Let's give them the full story, Ken.
Okay, Bing. Friends, be fair to yourself. Be your own cigarette expert. All you have to do is buy them, open them, smell them, and smoke them.
What Ken means is make your next pack Chesterfield and open it up. Smell that milder Chesterfield aroma.
That's right. Compare it with the brand you've been smoking, and you'll see no other cigarette has that milder Chesterfield aroma.
That's your proof right there that Chesterfield smell milder, and tobaccos that smell milder just naturally smoke milder. Tobacco men have said that for generations.
Now, when you smoke those Chesterfields, you'll see they smoke milder than the brand you've been smoking. Well, that's it. That's the mildness test that more than 10,000 smokers are making every day.
Be fair to yourself. Compare Chesterfields with the brand that you've been smoking.
And friends, if you don't know how much pleasure and comfort a cigarette can give you, smoke Chesterfield and you'll see.
Here's a song that's being brought back recently. Thank you. you, Ziggy Elman, for that fine cornet of yours. Love it. Well, let us turn now from the harbor lights to the spotlight and flash it on the familiar features of an old pal, an arrival in the baritone brigade, a handsome young man who switched from tuning to the drama, thereby established himself as one of Flickertown's most versatile stars. We all know him as Richard Diamond, the popular private eye of radio for Rexall Drugs, and in films he is currently co-starring with his lovely wife, June Allison, in MGM's Right Cross. Dick Powell, take a bow.
Just a minute there, Crosby. That was a very nice introduction, and I sure got a kick out of everybody applauding. But I'm not Dick Powell.
Oh, now, come on, Dick. Who are you kidding?
No, really, Mr. Crosby. Let me explain. Have you ever seen those ads for Autolite batteries that show a picture of a movie star and right beside it a picture of someone who looks like him?
Well, sure. I know which one is really Gene Turney, which one is really Joe, which one is Betty Hutton.
Yeah. Well, I appeared in one called Which One Is Really Dick Powell? I'm Otis P. Buttram of Mishawaka, Indiana.
Well, Otis, it's a pleasure to have you on the Chesterfield program. Mm. Why, I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you, first of all, your brother Everett had a little trouble with hiring Dick Powell.
It sounds possible.
No. Powell wanted $5,000, so Everett called me.
What are you getting?
4,000 United Cigar coupons. You know, Mr. Crosby, it's funny, you were never in one of those Autolite ads.
Well, I'm willing, Odie. I'm ready, but they just can't find anybody who looks like me.
Well, they haven't looked very hard, because right there in Mishawaka's, there's a fellow who's a dead ringer for you.
Who's that?
Chester Babcock.
That's true.
One of the nicest old codgers in town.
Oh, well.
Now, Chet's in the dog food business.
Yeah?
He manufactures Arf dog food. Arf the food your dog can ask for. But
oh, no, you... Hey, that's ingenious, isn't it? Sounds like a remarkable product.
Oh, it is. Comes in four delicious flavors. Meat, liver, cheese, and strained custard. That's for the older dog.
You know, Mr. Butler, I find this terribly interesting and very engrossing, but I still can't believe you're not Dick Powell, honestly.
Oh, you know, that's what everybody says. I want to tell you, it's mighty annoying being continually mistaken for somebody else.
I know just how you feel. Not a day goes by that some old dog doesn't come up, lick my hand, and say, well, if it ain't Chet Babcock. And thanks for straining that custard.
It's terrible, the things that happen to me.
I can't imagine.
No, it's awful. I don't mind strangers, people I meet on the street, but it's my wife who pesters me something awful.
Mm-hmm.
Every night when I come home from the dog food factory.
Oh, you work for Chet at the Arf factory, don't you?
Yeah. I'm head liver grinder.
Call him up.
Yeah. Every night when I come home all splattered with liver, my wife looks at me and says, well, if it ain't Dick Powell, the movie star.
Freckled up with liver, you must look like Godfrey. Huh?
No, not to Stella. You know, the minute I got home, before I could even get my head in the wash basin, she starts saying, well, she says, if it ain't Richard Diamond, a radio detective.
Oh, I see.
How many crooks did you catch in the liver grinder today? Why don't we have a swimming pool? Why don't you get a radio program? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, this is real rough, Odie. I can see what you're
doing. Oh, but I got a way of stopping that old battle axe. I'll look her right in the eye and holler, yeah, and why don't I get myself a pretty young wife like June Allison? Boy, that sure drives her to the beauty park.
You can't win, can you? But you be careful now, Odie. I think I detect a wild look in your eye. Your wife better watch your step, or one of these days you'll be grinding up something else besides liver.
Oh, no. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't run her through the grinder. But I'd sure like to run her through the labeling machine somewhere.
Now you're talking, Odie.
I'd like to paste that big red and white ARF label right on her big fat kisser.
Let's see her bark through that, huh? Odie, where'd you meet your wife, anyway?
Oh, she was a label licker in the factory before they put the machine in.
Well, you know, a label...
Hey.
We have titillated Mr. Cole. Almost beyond endurance. She's a label licker, huh?
Label licker.
Oh, she's bound to have a nasty tongue.
Oh.
A fugitive from the Hope, though.
Yeah.
Well, it's been nice meeting you. It's been real grim, Odie.
Oh, well, thank you.
you got me wrong. I don't mean to offend you in any way, Odie. I was just sort of hoping, that Dick would be here so we could sing 400 or 500 songs together.
Oh, that boy's got a wonderful voice.
Odie.
Hmm?
Come here.
Yeah?
Had a wonderful voice.
What do you mean, had?
The boy doesn't have it anymore, Odie. Pipes have gone.
The boat sailed, huh?
Aloha.
How did this happen?
Happens, just happens to most singers. Time takes its toll, you know. They just don't hold up.
Really?
Certainly. I want to tell you something else. This is between you and me, Odie. I'm lucky. Very few singers have the reserve voice that I have.
Oh, you mean your son, Gary?
Nope. Huh? I mean that at all. Now that you mention it, yes.
Of course, Mr. Crosby, this is none of my business, but I don't think it's very nice of you to talk behind somebody's back.
Oh, I don't think I'm talking behind anybody's back, Dickie boy.
Oh, the masqueraders. You know, I can't get out of this accent now.
Sounds just like Ray Ellis down in New Albany. No, I knew you as Dick Powell. I know that all the time.
I can't understand that. I thought it took off the part real well.
Well, you took off your part fine. You done good. You really did. You done good, but you just didn't fool me at all.
No, you're doing it. I'm a pretty good actor, you know.
Fine actor, yes, you are.
Of course, my pipes are gone.
No. I'm gone. Right today, you sing as well as you ever did.
I resent that.
Oh, you're so modest. You're just being modest. Tell you what, Dick, let's hit a tune right here. What do you say?
What do you got in mind?
Well, I thought we might sing Simple Melody.
Well, which part do I take, yours or Gary's?
You sing... You sing Gary's part.
Thanks, Daddy.
All right. John Scott, Simple Melody, please.
Play some simple melody, like my mother sang to me. One with a good old-fashioned harmony. Play some simple melody. Musical dream, we set for honeydew dream. Won't you play me some rag? And change that classical drag to some sweet, beautiful rag. And when the music is choppy and you play it from copy, you'll get all my applause. And that's just simply because I want to listen to rag.
Dick, very bouncy.
Thank you, Daddy. Now can I have $45 to go to the movie?
You're not Gary anymore.
No, fine, Dad. The minute I mention money, he doesn't want to play anymore.
Say, Dick, you know that Irving Berlin wrote Simple Melody way back in the days before you and I ever dreamed we'd be in show business.
Well, it certainly made a big comeback.
All the good ones always do, Dick. And incidentally, you've been associated with a lot of great songs that are about ready for another ride. I wonder if you remember this one.
Speak.
Are the stars out tonight? I don't know if it's cloudy or bright. 'Cause I only have eyes for you. If the moon may be high, but I can't see a thing in the sky. 'Cause I only have eyes for you. I don't know if we're in a garden or on a crowded avenue.
Hey, Dick, here's another one. You must remember this when you were the green boy over there at Warner Brothers Musicals. See if you remember this one.
You must have been a beautiful baby.
Oh, yes.
Well, you must have been a wonderful child.
Naturally.
When you were only starting to go to kindergarten, I'll bet you drove the little girls wild. And when it came to winning blue ribbons, you must have shown the other kids how. I can see the judge's eyes as they handed you the prize. I'll bet you made the cutest bow. Oh, you must have been a beautiful baby. 'Cause baby, look at you now.
You know what? Thank you.
You know, I didn't think I'd get that high one.
Oh,
there,
you never had any trouble.
Have we got time for another tune?
Oh, time. We're loaded with time. Sing all you want, Dick.
I wonder if Buddy Cole would give me a little Jeepers Creepers.
Jeepers Creepers, where'd you get those peepers? Jeepers Creepers, where'd you get those eyes? Gosh, all get up. How'd they get so lit up? Gosh, all get up. How'd they get that size? Oh, golly gee. When you turn those heaters on, woe is me. I got to put my cheaters on. Jeepers, creepers, where'd you get those peepers? Oh, those weepers, how they hypnotize. Where'd you get those eyes?
Do you remember Lullaby of Broadway from Gold Diggers of 1935?
Well, I remember the tune, but I can't remember 1935 very well.
Who wants to?
I think it goes something like this, Dick. Check me if I'm wrong.
Come on along and listen to Lullaby of Broadway, the hipper end of Ballyhoo, the Lullaby of Broadway, the rumble of the subway train, the rattle of the taxis, the daffodils to entertain at Angelo's taxi. When a Broadway baby says goodnight, it's early in the morning. Manhattan babies don't sleep tight until the dawn. Goodnight, baby. Thank you.
Great, though, Rich, and thanks a million.
Huh? Oh, thanks. Hey, wait a minute. Right. Thanks a million. Now, there's the tune.
See, just like we planned it. Works out. You just keep talking.
Thanks a million. A million thanks to you.
Another new and lovely French melody has reached our shores. Johnny Mercer, eminent lyricist, has done an English version of this one.
The falling leaves drip by the window. The autumn leaves of red and gold. I see your lips. Summer kisses, those sunburned hands I used to hold. Since you went away, the days grow long, and soon I'll hear old winter songs. But I
closer for tonight.
Before raking up the autumn leaves that are cluttering up the stage here, I would like to thank Otis J. Buttram and Dick Powell for joining us here in San Francisco tonight.
I enjoyed it a lot, Bing. Who's going to help you fight television next week?
Whatever do you mean? Next week, Dick, my brother Bob joins the Chesterfield crew for some capers. Also, Miss Tony Yard.
Hmm. Are you going to pay them in coupons or money?
Makes no difference. Everett prints both. Good night, Dick.
Good night, Harry.
Good night. Good night, Otis. Good night, folks. See you next week at Chesterfield, the best cigarette for you to smoke.